welcome to the temple.
Hadouken!
It's the ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs.
The Temple of Geek.
Well, hello, beautiful.
And now, coming to you from Central Texas, your hosts, Paul Jones and Daniel Slade.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Temple of Geek. Got Daniel.
Yo.
Myself. And we've got a newbie on the line, my good friend Jeremy.
Say hello. Hi, Jeremy.
All right. So, yeah, we're going to recap about everything we talked about in the last podcast here. Dude.
It's not so easy, is it, Paul?
No, okay. It doesn't help either whenever I'm also like Googling something too.
Yeah, well.
Well, okay. So I have listened. I've been listening to your podcasts, and really it's always nice to have people on par thinking the exact same things. I'm listening to the podcast saying, "Wow, that's exactly what I was fixing to say." That's always neat. Movies this summer coming out. I am super excited about the Avengers. Daniel, I already suggested this to Paul, but Daniel, have you watched the Avengers animated series that has been running?
The show that's coming on Disney?
Yeah.
No, I have not seen that yet. I've been actually watching the DC block on Cartoon Network every Saturday.
Cartoon Network, right.
Yeah.
I got you. I've been catching everything from that as well. The Avengers animated series that they've got running, it's already into season two now, is so well done. I've already told this to Paul, like I said. They've really done a good job of tying in or including bits from the movies that have already come to pass, like Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, probably fewer elements from Thor, but a lot of stuff, and they try to make this new animated series feel like some of those movies so that they're more acceptable to our current audiences. And they ran 26 episodes first season. It's all one big story, and I love it when a series does that rather than just, oh, this episode, they're doing this thing. The next episode could have happened before or after. Who knows? It doesn't matter. It's a good show, but, I mean, there's no like connection.
Is it Earth's Mightiest Heroes?
It is.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, it's on Netflix. Highly recommend you check it out. It's a very, very good show.
All right, I'll have to check it out
right now.
Yeah, but what about that Ultimate Spider-Man that comes on? I heard that wasn't really that good. Have you been watching that?
I have. I haven't watched the newest episode called Venom. When we were watching like Spider-Man and X-Men cartoons from the 90s, you know, they tried very minutely to include story arcs from when we were reading comics. Daniel, did you get into the Age of Apocalypse storyline at all and with X-Men?
I picked up key issues. I never actually got into the whole storyline, but I picked up some of the key issues.
I missed out on DC when I was a lot younger. Mm-hmm. I was a huge Marvel fan. So missed out on a lot of awesome DC stuff. But I was huge, huge into Age of Apocalypse storyline. And they incorporated some of that into the X-Men series from the 90s.
Yes.
Kind of similar thing going on with the Spider-Man series from the 90s. Only they included fewer things, I thought, from the 90s. They changed a lot of stuff, especially with like Venom and stuff. Where I'm going with this is this newest episode, which I haven't even watched yet. I just read the synopsis. Is with Iron Man giving Peter Parker kind of the Iron Spider suit, which is red and yellow, which is from this past decade.
From the Civil War series.
Right. So I think that's kind of cool that they're trying to incorporate a lot of this newer stuff that people are familiar with. And I think it's going to help people connect kind of with the show and maybe make it more enjoyable. Maybe.
Now, would this be a good reference before the Avengers actually come out?
Are you talking about Spider-Man or the Avengers?
Well, no, the... Oh, shit, yeah, you were talking about Spider-Man.
Keep up with us, Paul.
If they include Spider-Man, then yes. If not, then no. Actually, they already started talking about Avengers 2. They were talking about what X-Men might show up. Which of the X-Men might show up in an Avengers 2 movie?
Now, how are they going to be getting the X-Men from Fox?
Well, see, that's key right
well,
there.
Dude, now, well, I mean, if you think about it, what is it? Hulk is with Universal. Iron Man's with Paramount. Thor, who made Thor? Was it Paramount too?
I honestly don't even remember.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know there's...
But bottom line, all those characters right now are owned by... I mean, Disney owns the rights to them. That's why, even though they're produced by different studios or production companies, Disney still owns the rights to all those characters, but they don't own...
No. Marvel made all the movies. It's just these are the companies that have license to distribute them.
Yes,
so they can get whatever percentage.
But you'll never see, like... the X-Men with the Avengers because Fox has the rights to it, just like you never see Spider-Man with any of the characters because Sony still owns that.
Yeah, Sony's got hit by the balls.
Two of the characters they really talked about were Magneto's children, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. Right. So I think it would be funny if this kind of goes back to when y'all were talking about the Justice League movie that they were trying to get slapped together.
God,
it would be, I think, hilarious. I'm loving DC. I'm loving everything they're doing with their comics right now.
Have you read any of the New 52s?
I have read it. I've read quite a few of the New 52s. I'm really liking, this is a nod to Daniel, I'm really liking Justice League.
Yeah, Justice League is really, really well done. And Jim Lee's art.
I'm liking, oh man, I would love to score a piece of original Jim Lee art.
Yeah, I actually just, not to segue too much here, I actually just messaged him on Twitter to see if he will design our logo for Temple of Geek, how much he will charge, but he hasn't replied back yet.
He'll do it for free.
Oh, man, that would be... So, you know what? Or it's funny because I was actually already working on one on my new iPad, and never mind, if that happened...
Or dude, you need a Twitter Tim Sale, man.
I would rather Jim Lee artwork.
Well, yeah, I mean, rather.
We might as well. We might as well shoot for the stars, guys. How about Alex Ross? come on.
Have him paint all three of us. There we go.
That would be excellent.
Yeah, he still hasn't messaged me back yet, though. Just to let you guys know.
Of course. He's a busy guy. What were we talking about?
About Justice League 52s.
Oh, okay. No, well, about the Justice League movie. Okay. And Quicksilver. Okay. I think it would be so funny if they can get Avengers 2 made, which they probably will. They are on a roll. Avengers 2 made, add Quicksilver, and then have him on screen, and then people will say, wait a minute, I want to see a Justice League movie with The Flash. And they'll get that, Marvel will get that done before DC will. And personally, I'd love to see a Flash movie starring Ryan Reynolds. But
which that should have been to, you know.
Never going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
He's Green Lantern.
So what, dude? What's his name was... What's his name? Chris Evans was Torch, and now he's Captain America.
And
yeah, can you imagine Ryan Reynolds playing Green Lantern and The Flash in the Justice League movie?
Dude, I mean, anything's possible.
They both wear masks.
Yeah,
it's Multiplicity all over again.
Do you think, Jeremy, that they're going to, that DC is going to follow suit with Marvel and make a Justice League movie with their current characters that they're introducing now?
You know, they need to get the right people behind it. I'm afraid, kind of like what y'all were saying with the whole Tim Burton thing and the Batman franchise and then Tim Burton going into Superman. I'm really afraid that something's going to happen with, even though we all very much so trust Christopher Nolan, there's always been this kind of curse with DC movies. And I'm so scared that something's going to fall through with them,
to say the least.
them trying to force. And I don't know. I mean, how do we know really how much Christopher Nolan feels about, how strongly he feels about doing something with Superman? I mean, obviously he's an executive producer?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. I mean, it's just, it puts a bad taste in my mouth. I'm scared because I want something good to happen. That's why I'm scared. I'm scared something's not going to happen.
Well, yeah, because I want to see a good Superman movie too, but, you know, just the whole, everything that I've been reading about it being, I guess, darker, not really darker, but more edgy. I don't know.
It's just with it, you need a good Superman movie and you need a good Batman movie to make a good Justice League movie.
Well, here's the problem with that, though, because they've already said, or Chris has already said, Nolan.
I was like, you're on first name basis with him.
That Superman and Batman live in two different worlds. They don't live in the same world, and that if a Justice League movie were to ever be made, I mean, this is before this whole, you know, him being in, you know, involved with the Superman movie. If a Justice League movie were to ever be made, it would not involve his Batman. So there's a problem right there. Regardless, you know, like how well The Dark Knight Rises does, how well The Man of Steel does, those two renditions of Batman and Superman on screen will never be part, well, for now anyway, will never be a part of a Justice League movie. That's the problem.
I'd honestly be fine with that.
I would too.
Because you've always kind of said this, Paul, and I kind of just let it go because I like the universe that Batman, Christian Bale Batman, is in, but I've never really, Christian Bale Batman just isn't the best Batman.
Oh yeah, no.
He Christian Bale happens to be in a great production. That's what that is. So if it, you know, how many different Batman animated series have we been through?
Yes.
And I watch them all if I can, and end up liking the voice of Batman, whether he's Kevin Conroy or not. So.
Are you going to watch this newest one?
Oh, man. You know what? Did you see the teaser for it? I know you did, Paul.
No, I didn't, honestly.
Really?
No, I know it just came out like the last couple of days.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't got a chance to watch
Daniel,
it.
Daniel, did you watch it yet?
Hey, are you talking about for The Dark Knight Returns?
No. Beware the Batman.
Oh, that new show that's coming on. No, I haven't seen that one yet.
It's like a 30-second teaser.
Uh-huh.
It starts off, it looks like Batman is driving through maybe the end of the Batcave. And there's a shot of the Batmobile. And it's got twin jet propulsion engine things on the rear quarter panels. And it kind of swings around from the back to the front where you can look at the front of the Batmobile. And then it kind of goes through the windshield, and there's Batman in CG form, which, you know, we've never really seen. And it kind of reminds me of the Batman animated series from the mid last decade.
Uh-huh.
That's really all they showed. I was worried about it being CG because we've never done that with CG Batman or with Batman. So
now I saw a picture of it. Oh, not too long ago.
Is it Kevin Conroy doing the voice?
No, it is not.
Oh, because I just looked at it. I just looked at the teaser.
Yeah, I just did too. But I just, you know, I saw a picture of this. I guess it was last week or something like that. And it had a picture of Catwoman, Batman, and Alfred with a gun.
Yeah, Alfred's supposed to be more, you saw Batman, Superman, Apocalypse, I think it was?
Yes.
Superman, Batman, Apocalypse?
Uh-huh.
And you remember that scene where Batman is helping Superman get through to the Batcave?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and then Alfred's there with a shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be kind of like that, where Alfred's more militaristic. I don't know if that's really the right way to put it, but he's definitely more willing to put up a fight rather than serve a cup of tea.
Okay.
So, which, with this current movie generation that we're in, Alfred seems like he has more military training. Remember when, what's his name?
Michael Caine?
Yeah, Michael Caine. You know, he's talking about when he was, I guess, in the military and they went to Burma, you know?
Yeah, and they were talking about burning everything down.
Right. It sounded like he had more military experience than what we're used to seeing with Alfred anyway, so.
Well, a couple weeks ago, we got Paul's take on The Dark Knight Rises. What do you think about this film?
I think Nolan is taking more risk this time. Before, with The Dark Knight, I was very unsure of Heath Ledger playing the Joker. Of course, everybody knows how that turned out. I trust Christopher Nolan. I trust his judgment. It's been spot on so far. I think we're going to go into this movie. I think we're going to really enjoy it. Again, I'm questioning his decisions on some of the casting, but I trust the guy. He hasn't let me down yet.
Do tell. I mean, who are you most upset with casting-wise?
Catwoman.
Okay.
Bane. Now, I love Tom Hardy. I think he's going to play a great Bane. And I keep thinking, okay, you know what? They made the Hobbits look really small when they weren't really actually that small.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they'll use some kind of camera trickery rather than CG.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that's what it's going to be. And I said that, too. I said, you know, I think Tom Hardy's great. I just really wish they would have got with someone that was already physically bigger than what Hardy is right now. But, you know, whatever.
I just don't think, and I haven't seen his performance really, but I don't think anybody could have played Bane as intellectually as Tom Hardy is going to.
Yeah.
Because the thing I love about Bane is that he's supposed to be kind of as smart as Batman, but a monster in comparison. So right. he's like on a mental level with Batman, but then he's got a physical edge, which would put him a rung above Batman, if you look at it that way.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I think the movie's going to be great. I'm like you. I really wish they would have got somebody else besides Catwoman. I mean, somebody else besides... Well, yeah, that too. I really wish they would have got somebody else besides Anne Hathaway for Catwoman.
Well, how many years is it supposed to be after the second movie?
8 years.
8 years, yeah.
8 years. So, yeah. I mean, do you think Selena Kyle's going to be established already, or do you think they're going to try to throw her in?
Okay, well, supposedly the rumor is, I mean, again, we're not going to find anything out. I mean, it would be safe to assume that this is probably going to be fact, is that Selena Kyle is actually a henchwoman for Bane. And that, I don't know, somehow throughout the movie or somewhere in the movie, there, you know, she's going to end up flipping sides, which actually, I mean, if you guys seen, you know, all those fan-made clips, you know, when they were filming in Pittsburgh, she's actually riding on a bat pod, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that whole scene with the bat or whatever, you know, whatever that aerial vehicle is going to be called. But
wait, you did...
It's supposed to be called the Bat.
Yeah.
Y'all do realize that the Bat, the flying vehicle, is the Batmobile, right?
That's what I actually told Paul, I think, if you remember, Paul, that it, like, transforms into that. So now we got, like, Autobots in there?
Yeah.
Well, in the second movie, it turned into the Bat Pod, and now this one's turning into the Bat, so.
Yes.
I don't get all the scenes, though, with, like some of the scenes I've been watching where they're filming on set with all the military versions of the Tumbler.
Oh, of the Bat Pod. Yeah, of the Tumbler.
I don't know.
Are they producing them now, or?
As far as I remember, in the first one, they said they built two of them.
The military said, "Hey, look, guys, Batman's got those. We've seen them. I know he's got them. I don't know how he got them, but those look really cool. We need some of those."
Or Coleman Reese put them on eBay, and you know, they all made. You know, people made their own.
Buy it now, price.
Dude owns an island now.
But anyway.
That's funny.
Now, what about Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter?
What about it?
Have either of you two read the book?
I have not. I know that you've read it, Paul.
I think that is going to be a surprise. I mean, I'm not going to say it's going to be like this huge mega summer blockbuster or anything, but I have a feeling it is going to be a surprise hit.
Okay, so is Tim Burton doing that movie?
He's one of the producers, I think.
Okay, so
that's promising.
But he's also directing Dark Shadows, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that not a serious show when it came out in the 80s?
I've never even heard of it, honestly, until I saw a trailer.
I swear to God, that used to be a TV show. Yes.
It might have been.
Actually, I believe it was 60s that show came out.
Very possible.
Yeah, 1966 to 1971, Dark Shadows. So yeah, I'm watching these trailers for it, and seems like it's going to be a comedy. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and I think there was a rant on the internet too that a lot of people were kind of upset that that's the direction that they took on it. It was instead of being a serious whatever or some kind of homage to the original show, it's actually turned into some kind of dark comedy. So,
All right. But anyway, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yeah, I mean, I just hope that they, because the guy that's actually, the guy that's directing it is the guy that did Wanted. And I liked Wanted. I didn't read the graphic novel on it. But this Abraham Lincoln, I did. At first, like, you know, when I thought about the concept, I was just like, man, this has got to be stupid. And, I bought the book. I read through it. It starts off kind of slow, but then, you know, their interpretations of how the vampires are and, just Lincoln's, like how they kind of collide the two, like, you know, the history of Lincoln, you know, how he gets a president and, you know, like all the lore that we heard about vampires, and they just kind of smash the two together and kind of make this story out of it. It's actually pretty good. And I just hope that the movie kind of lives up to it. But yeah, like I said, I think the movie is going to be a surprise hit.
I've just seen the trailer for it a couple weeks ago. I question. I don't know. Do you think they portrayed Lincoln well enough?
Well, again, yeah, they take actual like historic facts, like, you know, whenever he's going up for. The running for senator and, you know, when he gets into the presidency, there's always a plan. Like he has a, you know, I guess every story is like this, you know, like every person that's supposed to be, in a place of position, you know, there's always like some right-hand man, you know, and this guy is like always there in his life to help him see it through that. So there's that, and like I said, you know, they kind of just like intertwine throughout the history.
I just wonder in the movie when we're watching it, I wonder if we're going to say, oh yeah, this is Abraham Lincoln. I wonder if it's going to feel like that all the time. That way you get that connection, or is it going to be something that's just, you know, they say his name, Abraham, or hey, Lincoln, is it going to be something that's shoved down our throat to try to make us think, oh yeah, that's Abraham Lincoln.
Oh yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, you know, it's going to be kind of hard to tell because, you know, most of the times when, you know, when movies are made or, you know, inspired from books, or something. Yeah. You know, it doesn't always live up to it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a couple things in the book that I know they're probably going to change for movie purposes.
When you were reading the book, did you feel like, oh yeah, this is Abraham Lincoln? Me personally, when I think of Abraham Lincoln, I think of this, you know, tall, older guy who is president making these decisions 47 years ago. You know, that's the only thing I think about when I think about Lincoln. And besides pennies, but
well, no, they do. How do you say they do take some of his characteristics and. Okay. And, you know, apply that. So, you know, his towering, you know, person, you know, they apply that to the thing. You know, how he was he wasn't very schooled.
Did it touch on his lawyer, like him being a lawyer or anything like that?
Yeah, it touches on that. But it touches on, like, how he was, like I say, he wasn't schooled that well. So, you know, he was more of a, you know, just stay at home, do chores kind of thing, you know, with the axe, you know, and like, how he builds up his skills on the axe, you know, they touch on that, you know.
Right, okay.
All his family problems in life or whatever. They touch on all that stuff, like I said, they touch on all that stuff, and then they kind of put like a vampire. I don't want it to make it seem like that, that they just kind of just put like this vampire story in it.
Kind of like just threw it in there.
Yeah, but it's really well done, like I said, how they intertwine the whole, like I said, the facts and then this fiction part with vampires, and they just kind of make this story around it, and it's kind of cool. But yeah, if anybody hasn't read the book, I highly advise read the book before you see this movie, and hopefully it lives up to it.
Do you have any issues on the casting of the who's the guy who's playing it, Benjamin Walker?
Yeah, I don't think I've seen him in anything. I know the guy that's playing his buddy. Henry, he is actually, ironically enough, the guy that played the young Tony Stark in Captain America. So, I don't know. He might do well.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that guy.
And I think that's about all that I know from the.
Well, the cast. I think I would agree that would be probably the surprise hit. Of the summer, I think from the trailer it looked really well made. What do you guys think about biggest flop of the summer?
I want to say Battleship.
I was just gonna say that. I kind of want,
but sadly, yeah. I want to go see it.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. But you know, I kind of want to lean towards Men in Black. You know,
that was the other choice I was gonna say.
Yeah. You know, but I think Battleship, you know, I was reading, you know, I'm a big YouTube guy, but I was reading when I saw the like first or second trailer that came out, and there was a comment on there that said, so basically these are what the Navy boys were doing while the aliens were in Los Angeles, or while the Marines were in Los Angeles battling those aliens, you know, so. So it was basically a continuation, but just on the other side at the same time.
I don't know. I mean, water. Battleship, I mean, it's just...
Dude, it's Transformers,
they're
basically.
Taking a freaking board game and trying to really turn it into a sci-fi movie, first of all.
You know, it would be one thing if Battleship ever had its own animated series back in the 80s.
Yeah, but I don't understand.
Well, you know what's next, right? Shoots and Laps.
Guess who?
Y'all are joking, but I really think they're making Candyland the movie.
Yeah, it's like Adam Sandler is involved with it.
What is it?
Shoots and Ladders, really?
What is it? What? Dude. Well, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
Hang on. A list of the top 5 board game movies coming out. We got Monopoly.
That list should not exist.
We got Monopoly, Ouija, Candyland, Clue.
Oh, well, you know, that's
Risk.
Okay. Yeah.
It says, if Battleship Clue's succeeds okay. in its mission, then a whole new fleet of board game-inspired movies will follow. Despite having its budget slashed, Michael Bay's Ouija... Michael Bay is making a movie called Ouija, about the Ouija board.
Oh, my God. Dude, I'm telling you, that guy needs to be arrested, man. He is the Uwe Boll of American movies.
Of America. He is. I have to completely agree with Paul.
Dude, listen to this. Candyland is described as Lord of the Rings set in the world of candy.
Oh, my God.
One popsicle to rule them all.
God.
Oh, my God. Okay, cool. So there's your top five.
Wait. Let's go to Michael Bay. What do you guys think about this Ninja Turtles?
Okay. I think did I break the news to you, Paul?
No, in a text or something. No. I saw this.
Okay, I can't remember. And then a few days later, I guess. I didn't read the Ninja Turtles comic books, so I didn't. I guess, you know, they're saying that, yeah, they do have some alien origins in the comic books, or the ooze is alien in some way or something.
I don't know either. I was just a cartoon fan of the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. I mean. Yeah, definitely. Probably always you need to leave Krang out, but I don't know. Yeah. I didn't have any problem with the original Ninja Turtle movies. So.
Yeah, but who cares? I mean, if the ooze is alien, I mean, if the if whatever element is type of alien, we all know them as turtles. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they're still going to be turtles. He's just
What I'm saying is. No, dude. No,
they're just not mutant anymore.
No, they said that they were
exactly
their planet.
Yeah, for like a race of a planet with turtles that are Ninja Turtles on them. I guess this planet Ninja Turtle. I mean, it's retarded.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I don't know. It's like basically saying, you know, you have McDonald's for 80 years, and all of a sudden, well, you know what, guys. We don't like how it is anymore. Let's just change it to something called, you know, Michael Bay-dolls.
Okay, but you know,
McBay-gles.
Exactly. McBay. Yeah.
Only Bay is capitalized. Everything else is lowercase.
What are all these toy companies thinking, given their properties to Michael Bay to destroy?
they like money.
I mean,
more than they like their properties.
Yeah, they're probably going to make a lot of money off the toys and stuff for this movie, but holy crap, dude.
Well, what we really need to be thinking about is 10, 20 years down the road, what are our children going to think? I mean, we obviously grew up with this quality stuff, and then now our generation is letting it get turned into crap, basically. What are our children going to have?
And it's going to continue because now he's picked up on what Transformers 4.
Yes.
He doesn't know, I guess the guillotine isn't enough. You know, got to sit there and watch with stapled eyes open and, you know.
Well, in Michael Bay's defense, if they just keep throwing money at him, he's going to keep doing it.
And that's the thing, too. If we all continue to watch it at the theater anyway, you know, I mean, you know, if you wait for it to come out on Blu-ray so that way it's, or, you know, at home sale or something,
yeah.
That way, you know, the rush of, like, you know, at the theater or whatever, yeah, but if everybody keeps continue to rush out there to go see him, like, I did not even watch Revenge of the Fallen at the theater.
Really?
When I watched Dark of the Moon, it was, like, at least 3.5 almost a month after it was out before I saw it.
See, I know, Daniel, you're a huge Gen 1 fan.
Yeah, I'm a Transformer nut.
Yeah, exactly. I am a deprived Transformer nut. I did not get to have any of the toys when I was growing up. It was I had an uncle who had all of them, and I got to play with them every once in a while. My 3 was obviously better than 2. My favorite part of 3 was him having a trailer. That is very sad.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember you were mentioning that.
That to me, that's sad, thinking about the fact that my favorite part of the whole movie was that he had a trailer.
Because it gave him some of the classic look.
Yeah, that's sad. I mean, not on my part, I don't think. I think it's sad on Michael Bay's part.
Well, here's what I'm thinking is going to be sad. He's saying Transformers 4 is going to be kind of a, not really a reboot, but kind of a restructuring of his movies, but it's going to be a direct sequel of Part 3. All the Autobots just killed every single Decepticon in Part 3. So what's Part 4 going to be about? Everybody's just sitting around staring at each other. I mean,
well, dude, they're going to be playing Battleship. They come back in Battleship form.
No, that's what it is. That they're not aliens. It's Unicron under the water.
Exactly.
Speaking of Unicron under the water, have anybody been watching Transformers Prime?
Yes.
Okay, so you've seen the whole thing where Unicron is Earth's core?
Earth, yeah. Wow, guys. Really? Yeah. I mean, I always like seeing it when they kind of bring an element that you're familiar with, like Unicron, into a series that they're obviously trying to mimic Michael Bay in some forms. But the way they did it, and the way they need to do Transformers 4, which isn't going to happen because Michael Bay's involved, they need to get off of Earth.
Yeah.
Take it back out into space.
Agreed.
They need to, dude, it needs to be Transformers 4, the retake of Cybertron or something. They need to go back to Cybertron. And why not stop by the planet of junk on the way? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Pick up Weird Al Yankovic.
Yes. He hasn't been doing much lately. Why not?
Well, we'll see what happens with this, I guess. I mean, pretty soon, I guess we'll start hearing something after Ninja Turtles comes out.
Oh, God.
When is Part 4 supposed to come out?
I think they tapped it for 2014.
Oh, okay.
Which is like 2 years, so that's more than enough time for Michael Bay to screw it up.
Which, if December 21st is really true, we might end up being lucky and never have to see that piece of shit that comes out. So,
you know, I don't know if y'all caught this. I mean, obviously y'all know that Dick Clark died.
Yes.
Yes.
May he rest in peace. I liked watching him. But how can we have a new year without Dick Clark?
Dude,
ringing in the new year. That's the sign right there. I'm not really one of those believers. It's, you know, Y2K all over again. Everything's going to be fine, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, I'll make sure I holler at you when we see the giant asteroid crashed into the planet. I thought you said everything was going to be fine.
I was just trying to console you, man. I was just trying to make you feel better.
Oh, damn it. The last movie I had to see was Battleship.
I know, right?
Oh, that would not be... That's not the way to spend Oblivion.
But seriously, though, y'all want to see it because it looks kind of action-y, right?
What, Battleship?
Yeah.
I'm not going to go rush out and go see it. I mean, I probably will check it out. But
you know what? I kind of want to see it because if Liam Neeson thought it would be okay to be in, I kind of feel like...
It can't be that bad, but he does get killed off in the movie.
Yeah, he does. Poor guy. Okay. He probably didn't know anything about Jar Jar.
What about Men in Black? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah.
Who is the who is it that's playing young K?
Oh, it's Josh Brolin.
Oh, yeah.
He got the mannerisms down.
Huh?
He got the mannerisms down.
I really liked Josh Brolin in Jonah Hex. The movie itself wasn't really all that great. I thought he did a pretty good job as Jonah Hex. I know y'all both touched on that a little bit. Jonah Hex is okay. I mean, every once in a while you get a feel for a Western that you kind of want to watch, you know. But really, you should just watch an old Clint Eastwood movie.
Yeah.
I think my problem with Jonah Hex was Megan Fox.
Yeah.
I think my problem with Jonah Hex was Jonah Hex.
I think if they would have cast probably a different character for Megan Fox's character, I would have probably been a little bit. It would have probably been a little bit better for me.
I know what they should have done. They should have cast Will Smith as Jonah Hex.
Ooh, shake it up a little bit, huh?
Well, I mean, it's not like they haven't done that already with Wild Wild West.
It's kind of like when they thought they were going to cast, wasn't he supposed to be like Superman or something like that?
I think I remember something like that.
Wasn't he rumored?
Will Smith?
Yeah, Will Smith was rumored to play. I want to say it was Superman at one point.
No. Dude, don't tell me that. I'd rather have Nicolas Cage as Superman. Actually, that's a lie. I'd rather have Will Smith as Superman than Nick Cage. All right, Zod, you know, I'm going to do something with my superpowers.
Oh, man. That would not be good.
Men in Black 3, I mean, do you think it's going to be good?
Well, you know, one was good. Two was eh. Not really. And then, yeah, I mean, it could.
Well, yeah, I think it'll... I'll tell you what, if Battleship does better than that, I mean... I don't know. I don't know what to say, but...
Well, here's something kind of funny. I'm reading the cast list for Men in Black 3. Lady Gaga's in it.
Yeah, nobody's gonna suck.
I guess they're all gonna dance.
Bill Hader's in it.
Who's that?
Oh, dude, Napoleon Dynamite. No, that's John Hader. Who's Bill Hader?
Bill Hader was in... Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
Neapolitan TNT. Yeah.
Remember the guy he kept calling on the Skype video chat or whatever?
Oh, from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, Saturday Night Live. Hell, I forgot he was on that. Hello.
No, dude, I'm laughing at why you said it. Oh, yeah, say that.
It is, you know, kind of late. I've only been up for almost 24 hours.
Paul, it's the curse.
It is, dude, it is. He already knows about it. Say
What was it, last week I couldn't say Chloe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Chloe. Kept saying Chloe or whatever the hell it was. I was like, what the hell?
Oh, you know, I haven't read that Smallville season 11, but I was pretty excited to learn about that because I also really enjoyed Smallville and thought it would be a good idea to follow it up in comic book form.
Okay, so me and Paul watched the finale here at my house.
Right.
Paul hated it.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on the finale?
Oh, man. Paul is such a tough critic. I love Paul. You can never please that guy. I'm sorry, Paul.
Dude, but when... Go ahead.
You know what? I already knew I already knew that going into season 10, I've already had 9 years of Smallville disappointment. Okay. Wanting it to be something else and it never really being that. I guess that's my own fault for wanting it to be something else. I mean, you know, if I really wanted it to be something else, I should have figured out a way to get up there and change it. How can we do that, right? So, you know, I was fine with the way season 10 was and the way it ended. Was Doomsday a horrible idea? Sure. Never should have incorporated Doomsday into Smallville. That was a huge mistake. But
see, you know, going with what you're saying, that's all the more reason why the last episode should have been the best it's been in like the last 5 years. I will say this about the last season. I liked how they were tying stuff together, like from like years before and all that stuff. But yeah, everything that you just said, you know, like disappointment, you know, the usual stupid episodes or the usual, you know, like didn't even make sense, shouldn't have even been made, should have been aired or whatever. But like all the more reason for the very, very last episode to be epic. And it was epic. It was an epic fail.
Well, I always told Paul the way I would have ended the series is never show him in the costume. The last scene you see is you see everybody looking up in the sky. Like there's something happening, like some major crisis is happening, and then everybody looks up in the sky and they're looking at him, and that's how the show would end.
Yeah,
I just thought, you know, we haven't seen the costume. They always talked about no tights, no flights. So let's continue on with that tradition all the way through to the very end, but kind of insinuate that he is flying, he is up there.
Well, I think that that's a restriction they never should have put on themselves, but at least they were consistent. to the very end, Smallville was consistent.
Small being the key word there with Clark in costume, right?
You know?
Yeah, that stupid spray painted t-shirt, and then you had that jacket at season 10.
The motorcycle
10.
Jacket.
Yeah, you know, with his hair slicked back, you know, and then like, you know. Yeah. Then the very last, you know, like when he was doing that jump or whatever, you know, transforming. Yeah. And I was like, oh, man, you know, we're finally going to get to see him in the suit. Yeah, we did. We saw this little, you know, speck, you know, and then I'm like, come on, are you serious?
I never understood that at the beginning of season 10. He, you know, he had the black T-shirt, black trench coat costume in season 9. His father goes, here, I got you this costume. And he's like, all right, thanks, Dad. I'm going to wear this jacket.
Exactly. You know. Like, no, that's, like, really cool, but...
I don't want to mess it up.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to get this right now, you know? It's a nice upgrade from, you know, I can only wear my shirt so many times, you know?
No, those are his dress costume.
Yeah.
God. Can't mess it up, you know?
Booster Gold. What'd you think of him in that episode?
You know, that was a little bit inconsistent with the rest of the show, I thought.
It was just kind of like off the wall there, wasn't it?
Yeah. Booster Gold has always been kind of a really out of place character to me. And that was kind of fitting for him in Smallville. I thought it was pretty well done.
I just didn't understand the whole Blue Beetle Terminator thing.
Yeah.
Dude, it's Smallville. I mean, you know, they got to incorporate some type of, you know, stupidity with it.
Well, they didn't do enough with Flash. I mean, they could have had him in there more.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, it was cheaper to have Green Arrow.
Well, speaking of Green Arrow, you know that new series is coming out.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
Arrow.
Now, how come they didn't cast the guy who was playing Green Arrow? Do you think they're just trying to... It's not even made by the same team, is it?
No. This Arrow is actually... it's being led secretly by Michael Bay.
Ah, that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense.
Yes.
That explains the costume.
Oh, God. You know,
actually, you know what? You know, talking about Green Arrow, do you guys remember that episode where it was they basically introduced his teacher, the Dark Arrow or whatever?
Yeah, Merlin. No, what's his name?
Merlin, yeah.
Is it Merlin? No. What the hell is his name?
No. He's that magician.
Robin Hood.
Was it anyway, Robin Hood?
Anyway, that guy should be, in my opinion, that should have been, like, if they were going to just go with a recast, I mean, to me, that guy would have been perfect. You know, he already had the beard and everything, you know. But, again, you know, this is CW. This is going to go for the 90210 crowd. I think all the Smallville people, you know what? I don't even know if I would be willing to watch it, because if it's just going to be another Smallville, but, you know, AKA a la, you know, Green Arrow, I guess, you know, I don't even think I'd bother.
Yeah. They could have, I'm sure that they just didn't want to spend the money to get Justin Hartley back. They should have. I mean, who knows? Maybe they just like, oh, well, you know, we'll go in a different direction because that's what Hollywood does. We got to take everything in a different direction. Can't please
instead
anybody.
Of the right instead of the right direction, let's go the opposite direction.
Let's see if we can make the opposite direction the right direction.
So let's see here. We got who is playing Arrow?
I don't know. Some nobody.
Well, one of the villains on the show is Tommy Merlin. Going to be his arch nemesis.
Dude, I mean, it's got Smallville written all over it, man. I'm telling you.
Well, if it has Smallville written all over it, I might be all over it.
No.
Like icing on a cake or something else. Who the heck is this? Jacqueline McInnes Woods.
Anyway.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it's supposed to be debuting, what, this fall?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish that we were stronger people and that just because they slap DC Comics or Marvel Comics on it didn't automatically mean that we had to go see it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that is how it is for me. I'll probably watch all of Arrow.
Like, dude. Now, I know I said this earlier. I mean, could not believe they were making a Wonder Woman series, and then when they showed the first promo pictures of what she looked like, and then the reactions that they got from the fans were just like so bad that they kind of tweaked the costume a little bit to where she didn't have the pants, you know, it went back to, you know, the boots or whatever. And I think they filmed, I think, like 3 episodes worth of film, and then they finally said, you know what, it's canned, you know, it's not going to debut or whatever. What did you think? Would you have watched the Wonder Woman series?
Yeah.
Because she looked pretty f***ing stupid.
Again, going back to the whole, just because they slapped DC on it means I'm going to watch it. Yeah, I would have watched it.
Oh,
I would have bought the freaking seasons.
Dude, oh, man, I don't know.
Well, I mean, like I said, it goes back to that. But what they need to do is whoever it was that pulled the plug on that show, they need a promotion and they need to be in charge of whether or not shows get greenlighted.
But speaking of greenlight, did you guys hear that Lobo has been greenlighted for a film?
Yes. Yeah, I did read that today. Every time I saw a posting about that, it had a picture of Lobo with his finger up his nose.
Yeah. I'm trying to decide if that would actually be a good movie or not.
I don't know.
I mean, he's basically just a bounty hunter in the comics.
Yeah, he's actually a nemesis of Superman.
Yeah, you know what would happen? They'll go and make a great Lobo movie, and then none of the other movies in the DC universe are any good except for Batman.
Yeah, you know, and see, that's the thing. Like, I remember like a while ago when they said that when they were going to make, ironically enough, okay, just so everybody knows, Superman Returns was a, for money purposes, it was a hit. It, in the words of, I think, Alan Horn, he said that it should have been it shouldn't have been just a $500 million movie. It should have been in like an $800 million movie. But it did break even. Actually, I know it made a profit. I don't know what the exact figure was, but the movie was like $200 million to make, you know, and altogether it made like, you know, a little over $500 million. So it was a hit. It just wasn't a hit with the fans, you know. A lot of people were disappointed. Anyway, so when the sequel was actually pushing forward to be made, ironically enough, it was called The Man of Steel, they said they were going to introduce one or two characters from the DC Universe and then hopefully get that spawned off into, you know, having those characters get their own movies. Uh-huh. Like the Man of Steel was supposed to help in a sequel to get some of these other characters made into their own movies with cameos in the film, just to see, I guess, like, you know, how it would look, or, you know, look on film or whatever. But obviously that never went that route.
Kind of like how Wolverine's doing with Dead.
Yeah, something like that.
But that makes sense. That makes sense to do something like that. You need something strong to maybe help kind of jumpstart some of these other properties. Maybe people don't really know about or think that they should get made into movies. I think it'd be a good idea.
Well, that was the idea, and you know, again, you know, like too many. I don't know, I was back and forth with Bryan Singer, and then Bryan Singer said, well, you know, the next story is going to be a Wrath of Khan type thing, blah, 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 you know, everything just kept getting, you know, delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed. I know at one point it was actually in the the wheels were moving, because Bryan Singer said, well, he wanted to do Valkyrie first, and then, you know, he would get started on Superman. But it didn't get made. The only thing that they kept from I guess Bryan Singer was just the title. But anyway, yeah, this is going to be a busy summer of sequels. So even though the Avengers are not really a sequel to any particular movie, it is, you know, a sequel. You've got Men in Black. You've got G.I. Joe. You've got The Expendables, which I really like the first one.
Very, very. Looking forward to seeing Expendables 2.
Yes. You also have... see if I can get back into August here. Well, like, it really matters for this, but...
Battleship?
No. what is this? Well, it's not really a sequel, but it's the remake of Total Recall, which anybody see the trailer to that?
Yes, that actually looked really good.
Yeah, I think it's going to look good. But here's the thing, I know this is probably being nitpicky or whatever, but Total Recall, I forget, I think it was like a 3-book series or whatever. You know, there was a first book, and then there was Total Recall, and there was Minority Report. Minority Report was made in 2002 with Steven Spielberg, and one of the actors in that film was Colin Farrell. So here you got Total Recall coming out, and I think he does play Quaid, but anyway, little continuity thing there. But yeah, that movie looks good.
Dude, Diary of a Wimpy Kid comes out the same week as Total Recall.
There you go. Step Up Revolution, if you fanboys are into that Step Up stuff.
How about Ted?
That looks really funny.
Yeah, it does. It looks really, really funny.
Yeah. I clicked on it by mistake and saw a preview of it, and I was just laughing my ass off when I was watching it. It was the Red Band trailer. Seth MacFarlane's always hilarious.
Yeah. And The Bourne Legacy is another one, another sequel there.
Yeah, that's the fourth one, right?
Yeah.
And that's not going to have what's-his-face in it.
Yeah, it's a newborn, basically.
Jeremy Renner,
yes,
who plays Hawkeye in the Avengers, kind of coming back to that. I really like Hawkeye. I think if you watch the Avengers animated series, you'll really like him as well. They do the Hulk very good. He's funny, but I'm kind of worried about Jeremy Renner's character in the Hulk. I don't know. There's something about it. I'm just gonna have to see the movie, obviously, to know.
I really don't think Black Widow and Hawkeye are gonna get that much screen time. I really think it's gonna be more of a Iron Man 3 sequel than anything else.
Yeah, and see, I said that earlier. I really hope it's not gonna be that, but we all probably know it's gonna be.
I mean, just based off of what I've seen on the trailer so far, I mean, it just seems like they're concentrating on Tony Stark's character more than anybody else.
Well, see, yeah, I guess that is kind of what worries me, is that I really would like to see Hawkeye have a good role in it, and yeah, I don't have a good feeling about it.
Well, it might be beneficial to his character if he doesn't have a huge part, because if Jeremy Renner can't do the part very well, then...
yeah, that's very, very true. But I did like Renner in Mission Impossible 4.
I still have yet to see that.
I was actually supposed to rent that today. Instead, I watched The Muppets.
Oh, wow.
That was actually a good choice. The Muppets was great.
I have not seen that. I'll have to check it out. But Renner was really good in Mission Impossible 4, so hopefully he can pull it off. I think he's going to pull off Bourne. I mean, we all liked Matt Damon in the Bourne series.
Matt Damon.
But what do you really need to play Bourne, a Bourne type character? You need attitude, and you need to make it look like you can do martial arts.
Cheap camera tricks can pull that off, right?
Exactly. You just need a good OP. So, yeah.
Now, what are your thoughts on the Hulk?
Oh, God, don't get me started.
Thank you.
You really hate the Hulk, too?
Yeah, honestly. Okay, you want to change actors? Fine. In The Incredible Hulk from 2008, how much did that Hulk look like Edward Norton?
Not much. I mean...
Exactly. They could have cut and pasted that Hulk into the Avengers, and nobody would have had a problem with it. But no, they want to go and change it, and... I'm sorry, from years of battle and he's older now? BS. Being the Hulk, he's got accelerated healing. Every time he gets, you know, injured really bad, it heals pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be just like Wolverine with slowed aging.
Actually, what I really think, I was thinking about that after our last, when me and Paul talked about this last, I think the deal is, you know, they got, who is it, Mark Ruffalo playing him now?
Yeah.
And he's going to be most of the Hulk throughout the whole movie. So I think they made him look like Mark Ruffalo, so that way Mark Ruffalo's in the movie.
Well, no, I mean, like
you know,
Edward Norton.
No, that's
like,
a very good point, actually.
Well, like Edward Norton, he did some of the...
Edward Norton had a huge part in the movie, though. I don't think Ruffalo's going to have that huge of a part in this film.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, like you know, this whole, like, you know, they modeled the face after Mark Ruffalo. Well, they did the same thing with Edward Norton, except that I think Mark Ruffalo is actually doing the motion capture where Edward Norton didn't do that. Tim Roth did it, but Edward Norton didn't do it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he did the stupid, you know, like he had that stick sticking out from his back, you know, to make him look 9 feet tall or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the other actors would have a reference when he was the Hulk, you know. Like that part, you know, he was the Hulk, but at the actual motion capture, but like his face, you know, yeah, you know, you're right, Jeremy. I mean, it was very subtle. Like you know, there were some, you know, like his nose was like pointy and straight, like Edward Norton's was. Like I'm talking about the Hulk.
Yeah.
You know, his nose was pointy and straight, like Edward Norton's was. You know, like, you know, just some very subtle characteristics from Norton onto that Hulk was there.
But not
the complete face like it is on Mark Ruffalo and this guy.
Well, and his body hair.
Thank you. See, that's what I'm saying, dude. I just don't get that. I don't get it either.
Well, okay. It's like, we're nitpicking, but it's a trivial thing that they didn't have to add. It's like they must have been looking at Hulk when they were doing the CG and said, you know what, there's not enough stuff on here.
Exactly.
It needs more texture. It's like these people didn't even watch The Incredible Hulk. They must have watched The Hulk from 2003 with Ang Lee.
Yeah.
I was looking at some pictures of that today, actually. I was like, you know what, I thought I liked that Hulk, but now that I'm looking at it, there's nothing to him, really. So, but yeah. I don't know. The Hulk from The Incredible Hulk was, to me, the quintessential movie Hulk, and it's a shame that they didn't use the cut and paste button.
Copy and paste.
That's right. It would have been fine. I'm sure the Hulk will be fine in this movie once we see it.
I mean, I won't.
I'm sure it will.
I probably won't even be paying attention to his chest hair.
Until they probably do a big close-up of it, right? Hulk can talk now. Hulk grew hair. Hulk needs shave.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. We're probably going to have such a good time watching him save Iron Man's butt flying through the air that, you know, it won't be such a big deal. But they shouldn't scare us like that, guys. They just shouldn't.
Now, Jeremy, what do you think about Spider-Man coming out?
You know, I like British actors. And Andrew Garfield. Is it Andrew or Andy? Andrew.
Andrew.
Yeah. Andrew. Yeah, Andrew Garfield. He's British. It's got to be good.
If it's British, it's got to be good.
Yes. Yes. I think the Lizard is a good choice.
I don't like the way he looks.
I hope it's... we've seen stills, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen toys. We've seen, you know, some poorly lit still images. Hopefully it looks good in motion. In motion is what, you know, always matters. And that's what's going to tell right there. Well, so,
Paul, was it you that I was talking to? You were telling me you were mad that they're bringing back the web shooters?
Well,
Paul is my biggest opponent against web shooters. I love.
I like the idea of this teenage boy creating the web shooters. I mean,
I hated organic web shooters.
Oh, I just thought, you know, like, you know, if they were, you know, the whole like reality thing. I know what you're gonna say, Jeremy, but
if it was reality, the spider web would be shooting out of his ass.
See, exactly. I know you guys are gonna say that, but like, it was just, you know, like,
no,
like,
well, no, he would have grown an abdomen. It would have been this growth, and then Peter Parker never would have been able to be in disguise.
And every time he walks into a room, you hear, "I like big butts, and I cannot."
But I mean, I just could never fathom, like, you know, I know it's, you know, comic book, you know, it's whatever, it's, you know, fantasy, but like, you know, if you were to see it on film, like, oh yeah, you know, I'm just gonna create this, you know, wristwatch, you know, with a, you know, like a sensitive button that's gonna create this web-like looking fluid that's gonna, you know, hold up to like hundreds of pounds and stuff like that, you know, like, well, you know, and then like when they say, well, it's gonna be organic, like a side effect to it, and I'm like, well, that's a little bit more believable because, you know, he doesn't ever have to run out, and, you know, it's something that's made out of his body.
I like that he can run out and he can make a mistake about how much he's carrying and, oh crap, I ran out. Or
yeah, that was
he can be fighting and say, and a villain can destroy that part.
And he doesn't have it. Know? Yeah. I mean, that's one thing I liked because they did that a lot in the comic books where he would be swinging through the cityscapes or whatever, and he'd realize that he didn't have enough web or fighting venom or something like that. And yeah, I mean, that's what made the character kind of believable.
Yeah, I mean, he made mistakes, but he was able to overcome them. So,
but Paul likes web shooting out of people's butts, so.
I do.
Oh, back to the belt. I don't think he has a belt.
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture now. He doesn't have a belt on him, but on the video game, it was weird because the video game image shows him having a belt, so it just looked weird.
Well, that just means that the video game's probably going to suck. I mean, well, as long as Sega isn't involved in making the game. I know you were a big Sega fan back in the 90s, Daniel. But man, they sure did fall from grace.
Oh yeah, they need to get back into the system games, building systems.
Well, I wish it would happen. I don't think it'll ever happen. They're too. They don't have enough money. Sonic doesn't do that good anymore, and it's too costly to get into the system game. I mean, if Sony keeps messing up, they're not going to be able to afford to stay in the system game. Oh, y'all were talking about how Sony was going to make you pay a fee to play a used game.
Yeah.
Okay. When the PlayStation 3, before it came out, Sony was actually talking about making it so that the discs had a portion on them that were rewritable. And when you put the game in, and keep in mind this is 2005 we're talking about, when you put the game in, it would write some kind of code that basically encoded the disc to your console. Mm-hmm. So if you trade it in, well, you basically couldn't, because it was only it only had the code for your console. So you couldn't even, you wouldn't even be able to trade games, and that was something that they eventually decided against, because it would have been a negative point to the system, and they don't want negative points. They want all good stuff. Otherwise, then how are you gonna market that? But that is, it's going back. It has gone back. You know, it goes back many years. Actually, this isn't new stuff. This is things that they've been trying to nail down for a while now, because they think that, you know, used game sales are hurting their revenues, are hurting their third-party publishers' revenues, and a lot of the third parties are complaining because GameStop sells a used game and doesn't give any... all that money goes back to GameStop.
Yeah, it doesn't go to the companies.
It doesn't go to the publishers at all. And, I mean, I can understand that point, but if I go buy a brand new Ford, Ford's getting my money. If I go buy a used Ford...
owner gets the money, whoever sold you the car.
Yeah, the used car dealership or the person that owned it before. So, I'm sorry. They need to suck it up.
Yeah, I agree.
And actually, Daniel, Nintendo games, they were like $60 back when I was... I mean, we're close to the same age, I think. Cartridges used to be $59.99.
I don't remember them being that expensive.
Well, if you think,
I don't either,
because we didn't buy them.
Yeah, but I know my parents would never have bought me a video game if it cost $60.
Yeah,
well, that's, you know, when you're young, they love you and they'll do anything for you. But yeah, dude, they were expensive. They didn't go down to like $50 until like the PlayStation came out, and that disc format enabled things to get cheaper.
Huh.
Yeah, yeah, cartridges used to be, they've always been kind of expensive.
Now, we're just talking about, like, regular Nintendo or Sega, too?
You know, I don't remember how much Sega games cost.
Because, like, I remember, you know, when I was a kid, and my dad would give me $2 for lunch every day. I remember I used to save that so I could go get a game, you know, in a couple months.
Heck yeah.
Same thing. I don't remember it being $50. I remember it being like maybe like $35 or something. But yeah,
see, because I remember, I remember Atari games running between $20 and $30.
Yeah,
and I swear Nintendo games weren't that much more than that, because I wouldn't have been able to buy maybe $39.99. But I know my parents wouldn't have bought me all the games that they bought me when I was a kid if they were $60-$70. Heck, I can't even afford that nowadays. That's what we were talking about last week, you know. I like to buy used, and that's why I'm ticked with Sony with this crap.
Well, and that's the thing. It's not even going to be Sony. It's going to be everybody doing that, or doing something in order to keep you from... They're gonna do everything they can to discourage you from buying used. Now, GameStop's going to do everything they can to encourage you, because that earns them the maximum amount of profit, but...
Yeah, so then like Xbox, the rumor is everything's going to go, you know, the system's going to go diskless and everything's going to be downloadable to it. So that's their way of preventing used as well.
I don't see it happening. I don't see a diskless system coming up. They're not going to cut their balls off like that. they're not. That would...
You mean they don't want to go the route of the PSP Go?
Oh my goodness!
Now, hey, now is Xbox really thinking about, like, what do you say, like including a Blu-ray player already in it?
They, in my opinion, and I've seen a couple of snippets about this. They almost have no choice but to go with Blu-ray. I mean, their reason for not going with Blu-ray before was because of Sony. But going with Sony for their next console is not going to help Sony more than it would hurt Microsoft.
Well, why couldn't they use their own HD technology for their games?
You know, I mean, the Sega Dreamcast used its own disc.
Yeah, the GD.
Yeah. I don't know. That was a decision that was not very well thought out, I think. I mean, the Xbox came out a year before, I think, the HD DVD drive came out.
Correct. I believe that was right.
And so I think that maybe it was cost. They said, you know what, guys, we can get the Xbox out in 2005, a whole year before our competitors, if we just go with DVD, and let's just do that. I mean, it'll give us an edge, and it sure did. Their online infrastructure has been number one, and who are we to question the leader of the console of this current console generation? I mean, they made a good decision. It maybe wasn't the decision we wish they would have made, but you know.
Are you a Nintendo fan?
I am.
Are you looking forward to the Wii U?
No.
Why, Zach?
Do you know how many Wiis I've had? I've had 3 Nintendo Wiis. I buy one, and I got one on day one.
But okay. Do you have a Wii Wii? Continue.
Every time I get a Wii, I play it for like a couple of days, and then it sits for months and collects dust. And then I say, "Oh, well, you know what? This person's looking for a Wii. I'll just sell it to him. I'll sell it to him cheap too." And then I'm thinking, "Oh man, this new game's coming out. I gotta go get a Wii now. It's a good thing it's cheap, so I'll go get another Wii." And, you know, I literally just sold my black Wii, which I sold it to get some cash to help purchase my iPad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had bought 4 virtual console games on that particular Wii, Ocarina of Time, Super Mario 64, F-Zero X, and something else I can't even remember. It doesn't even really matter. But I just never played it. Not like I do my Xbox. I've got a PlayStation 3 as well, and my Xbox is king. It gets more playtime. Of course, I spend, you know, $50 a year for an Xbox Live membership. So, I mean, you know, something you pay for, you're probably going to use more to try to get more out of it. I guess that's one way to look at it than something that's free. That, you know, I'm talking about the PlayStation Network. So, but I mean, the Wii U, going back to that, I think the controller is a great idea. But I don't know. It would probably turn into the same situation where it's just going to collect dust.
Now, dude, do you have a Kinect?
I do. Have a Kinect.
Have you played the new Star Wars
Kinect? No, I have not. My Kinect collects dust also because it's related to the Wii. The whole motion gaming thing, motion control gaming thing, Wii Sports was a lot of fun when it first came out. It's still a lot of fun, but it's not Skyrim. It's not Batman Arkham City. It's not Grand Theft Auto 4. I mean, it's not something that's just going to keep me coming back, and that's basically, to me, what all the Wii games are. With the exception, of course, you know, Mario Kart, new Super Mario Brothers Wii. You know, there's exceptions.
Yeah.
But I just don't play them in as much as I used to, you know?
So. Yeah.
Well, guys, I kind of want to end this here with Jeremy, you know, I've never officially met you out in in person. I have seen you on film, though.
Ah, excellent.
I've seen you on the Goatman movie.
Now, real quick before we do end this, have you seen Lewis Proof?
Yes, I have seen Lewis Proof. Paul.
Okay.
Paul showed me that as well.
I figured he probably did. I haven't done anything. I haven't posted anything since February 15th on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
And I've really been feeling like, oh, what am I doing? I need to be making stuff. So maybe we can get you, because I'm wanting to start a new series. Maybe we can get, maybe we can do something together.
Maybe we can. But I need to talk to you about this Goatman. What the hell? Why were you in this movie with Paul? Why did you do this movie with him? Because this version of the Goatman that he created.
Yeah.
And Paul's probably going to tell me to shut up or whatever, but this isn't what we came up with years ago.
Yeah.
Me and Paul got drunk one night. And we came up with a story of the Goatman. And yeah, what y'all came up with was what we came up with. When I saw it, I was like, what the
heck? Okay. See, what happened was the year was 2000. What was it, Paul? 2005?
Six.
Okay. The year was 2006. And Michael Bay didn't have anything to do, so he called us and said, hey, you guys should make a Michael Bay style Goatman movie. And that's what we did.
Minus explosions, minus slow motion stuff, minus pretty much choir type movie or music.
No, in all seriousness, honestly, I had no idea about anything about making a film at all. A lot of stuff I've gotten from Paul, a lot of my knowledge, and I just thought it'd be cool to be part of it. I was like, you know what? I've got this location we could use for it. And we just went out there and shot it. I'll be honest, I didn't know what the hell was going on. I said, hey, we should do a shot like this. And we did a shot like that. And then...
Well, Paul, out of curiosity, do you still have the original script?
Yeah, somewhere amongst my many stories.
That's not a good sound.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Jeremy, the original script involved like five kids.
Oh, Jeremy, I did tell you this when I first met you about what the like one of the key sequences was. He takes his horns.
Takes his horns off and turns it into a gold-plated lightsaber.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that now.
Yeah, because Paul was like, can you make this happen on film? And I got bored one night and I recorded one of my friends spinning around this stick. And I was able to animate a lightsaber. Right. And Paul was like, that's freaking amazing. We got to put this on film.
Yeah, I've got it somewhere.
So, yeah, one day we'll have to sit there and tell you what the actual story is and go from there.
Well, I'm interested in doing something with special effects. I haven't really done any special effects yet. I'm kind of scared to commit to filming something that's going to need special effects because I'm scared that I won't be able to do it. I probably would. So I've been kind of playing it safe with what I've been creating.
Uh-huh.
So I would like to expand and do some. I know you got to be familiar with Freddie Wong.
Freddie Wong.
Daniel.
No, I am not familiar with Freddie Wong.
Oh, dude.
Okay, Daniel, your homework.
Okay, I'm getting some homework here.
Your homework, you need to start watching YouTube channel Freddie W.
Okay.
That's FREDDIEW. And that's anybody out there that is not watching Freddie W, you need to because you're missing out. He makes short films like a minute, 2 minutes long, 3 minutes long. He basically works for YouTube. His videos get so many hits that's all he does. He just works for YouTube. And he gets paid that way. He's just a YouTube content creator now. And he makes awesome videos. A lot of them are based on video games in some way. So it'll be really easy for you to get into.
Okay.
They're actually making a series. I think it's in post-production now. It's called VGHS, I think, Video Game High School. I think it's 9 10-minute long episodes that's going to be posted on YouTube. So it's going to be like an hour and a half long movie once it's all done. I'm pretty excited about that. Looks pretty cool. Plus, with everything he's done in the past, watch his videos. You'll get pretty psyched about it. Freddie Wong, he works with his buddy named Brandon, and they live with two other guys. I can't remember their names, but their YouTube channel is Corridor Digital, and they're actually already in the middle of a series. Two episodes have already played. Paul, did you watch Sync?
Yes, I did.
Did you watch the new episode?
Yes, I did.
You need to watch. You should go on YouTube and search for Sync. And there's like two episodes out now, and it's really, really cool take. It's a really cool idea for a show. They're like 10-minute long episodes.
Okay.
So check that out too.
Is that by Bamo?
It is.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you want to give a plug for your YouTube channel?
Yes. YouTube channel, J. Kelly Videos. Check it out. Just getting started. Spent way too much on some equipment. Hopefully it'll all pan out. Really, I just want to make some cool videos and just get experience doing it. There's not a purpose for it. Just to have fun, you know? What else matters, guys, right?
That's all that matters.
Just having fun.
Indeed.
Well, guys, I'm pretty sure that's going to do it for us for tonight. I want to thank everybody for listening to this episode of the podcast. Hopefully we didn't bore y'all too much tonight. Thank you, Jeremy, for joining us tonight. Hopefully you'll be joining us a lot more.
Absolutely.
And, Paul, thank you for just, I guess, being there. Web shooters out of the ass. I don't know what the hell that's all about. But that's going to do it tonight. My name's Daniel.
Paul.
Jeremy.
Jeremy.
And we're out.
Peace.
Peace.